Well, we trust the Lord will be with us again this morning. We have written on the board spiritual warfare. I know this is the third Sunday we've talked about spiritual warfare, but I feel like the Lord's been talking to us again about another aspect of it, and we want to consider some of the word of the Lord this morning. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I want us to think a little bit this morning that we want to be aware of not only our wonderful strength in the Lord. We recognize that. We stand by that. But we have an awful foe. And without God, we don't have a chance. And it says we're not ignorant of his devices. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning. I just feel like the Lord's give us some thoughts about understanding the battle. And I believe it might help us in our fight. In Isaiah 59 and 19... I want to read a couple scriptures. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." You know, I believe the Lord has plenty of power. And He's made a covenant with us. That he would put upon within us his spirit. And he said that it would not depart out of our mouth. And I want to think a little bit about this passage, this part that we read that says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood." You know, what is a flood like? Because it says here, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood." Do you believe that with a real, true, spiritual person that loves God and knows God, will the enemy ever come in like a flood? What is a flood like? We here, most of us are quite well aware of what a flood's like. We had a chapel over in Flood Zone for some years. And I remember the last flood we had. The waters just keep rising, and they just seem like they're just going to take over. They come in, and they just come up, and they bring with it all kinds of muck and nasty things. The doors of the chapel, the strength of the flood was so much that it swept them open, and down the river went some of our benches. And some of the people found benches for quite some time after that. We would hear of another bench being found somewhere. That was a flood. And after a flood, it's an awful amount of cleanup. But you know, floods are like fires. They destroy. They're a terrible thing. I've determined that I don't ever want anything to do with Flood Zone. Not in the middle of real Flood Zone. I don't want anything to do with property like that anymore. But it says here that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I want us to think a little about that this morning. I want to consider when Jesus spoke of a flood, and I want to look at what he said about it in Luke 6 and 47. Luke 6. Jesus said here, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You know what I believe Jesus was letting us know here? That time's going to come for you and me. We're going to see the time when the waters rise and they threaten to throw down our building. But he said here that those that had heard his words and did them and followed them and was careful to obey the voice of the Lord, that their house would stand. Their spiritual life would stand that kind of shock. But he said, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This one built his house upon the earth, upon its own desires, upon its own wherever it wanted to build. It didn't dig down and hit the rock. It didn't do the works that we was talking about a while ago, about being converted, about that resurrection taking place, and following the Lord and being careful and diligent in their life before the Lord. And it says the flood came and it beat vehemently against that house. And this morning I just want to encourage us that the storm and the flood is going to come to all of us. It's going to come against our house. It's going to come against who we are, against the things that we have. And it's there the flood will destroy if we're not careful. I was thinking about what the Lord said over in Genesis. He said, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. That's what floods do. It destroys. But you know, this morning, I want to encourage us that we can stand the flood. The flood's going to come. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when he comes in and he wars against our spiritual life and he wars against our household, do you know that we can stand? Do you know that when it's all over, we can still have our house? We can still have the things God has given us if we will? I want to consider a man named Job. I think we're all familiar with him. But, you know, there was a time that the enemy came in upon him like a flood. And it says here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Job, says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, this was a man that loved the Lord. He feared God. He's kept his commandments. He eschewed evil. He hated evil. He put it far from him. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And you know, we look here and we see Job was a perfect and an upright man. That was God's description of him. And yet the enemy came in on him like a flood. And I just want to encourage us this morning. We're talking of spiritual warfare. We're speaking of fighting the enemy and winning. And we can win. But you know, if we believe that nothing bad will ever happen, the enemy will never come in like a flood to us. He will never have, God has a hedge around us that will never allow him to do anything. You know, I believe God has a hedge around us. He had a hedge around Job. But he allowed some things into Job's life. And Job was tested. But that's not the end of Job. We'll read the end of Job also. In verse 6, It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And who came with them? It says Satan also came, and Satan came also among them. I want to start at verse 13 and read a little ways here. And read about what happened in Job's life. It says, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That was bad news. But it says in verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. We read back in verse 3 of all the things, 2 and 3, of his sons and his daughters, and of all the things God had given to Job. And he was a rich man. It says he was the greatest man in the East. And now we have just read where one upon another, they come bringing Job this bad news. This has happened, Job. Oh, your camels, they're all gone, Job. All your oxen, they're gone. Your sons and your daughters, they're dead. You know, all this came upon this perfect and upright man. And what did Job do? It says in verse 20, after all of this, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know, we're reading about how the enemy came in like a flood. There wasn't anything left, seemed like. What did Job have left? Maybe some land? He everything he had of real value, his family, his all his wealth suddenly evaporated and it was gone. The enemy came in like a flood. You know, I've never seen anybody have this level happen to them. And then Job's life. Then he lost his health as well. And then his wife turned against him. But here was a man that feared God and he loved God. And I want to encourage us this morning, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we don't have to be swept away. We don't have to be swept off of our beliefs, off of our relationship with the Lord. We don't have to be swept off and swept away from our fellowship with our brothers and sisters. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he don't have to be able to steal all of those things. And so I want to look at the end of Job. We find him here. It says that he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here was a man whose heart was perfect toward God. And he feared God and he served God and he loved God. And I want to encourage us this morning. The enemy don't have absolute control. When he comes in like a flood, know there are bounds. Know that God is still in control. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, stand. Job didn't run anywhere. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't say, "Where is God?" He didn't charge God foolishly. He stood right there, and he stood, and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He fell on his face. Yes, he fell on his face. And I'm sure he felt like falling on his face. But you know, Job stood in that time. And I will tell you what happened at the end of Job. And it mentions this over in James. We've seen the Lord, that he's a pitiful and of tender compassion or something to that order. We've seen the end of Job. Now, if we look over into the 42nd chapter, it says in verse 10, or verse 9, "So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." These ones that had accused him when he was down, and these ones that had turned on him, even his friends, what did he have left? He had everything. He had God. That's what he had left. And when God got through, he was richer than he ever was when he started. And it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." You know what he had to do? He had to humble himself so low that he prayed for his persecutors. He prayed for those that were wrong. And when he did that, it says the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Isn't that a wonderful story? And it says, "Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And you go on down in the 12th verse, and it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep." Now we read before, I think he had 7,000 sheep. "And he had 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Did the Lord not heal Job's life and heal his heart? You know, this morning, we need to be aware of Satan's devices and be aware that we are going to be attacked like this from time to time. In our life, there is going to be the time. Floods don't come every day. They come once in a while. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, remember something. Fall on our face before God. Humble ourselves, but realize I'm in the hands of God. The Lord gave me to start with, and the Lord will give me again what I stand in need of. You know, this morning, God wants to be that kind of God to us. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with us when Satan comes in like a flood. I was thinking about, when does the enemy come in like a flood? You know, he came into Jesus and he made his approach to Jesus, didn't he? When did he do that? When Jesus had just worked a miracle? He did it when he was at his weakest point. You know, we need to be aware that these kind of things happen. The Lord will help us to stand. And when we've done all, just stand. When we don't know what else to do, stand. Let God's grace keep us. And stand, therefore, before the Lord. And let Him keep us. You know, Jesus was there. He was weak. He had fasted for 40 days. I've never fasted 40 days. But I can only imagine how weak you would feel if you hadn't eaten for 40 days. And so here he was, and Satan comes and begins to tempt him with things that I don't believe Jesus could have been tempted with earlier necessarily. Jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. Who would be really tempted to really do that? I mean, the thought may come to mind, but who would really be tempted? Someone after they've been 40 days without food, maybe. That's the wickedness of Satan. He comes. And so then he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You can have all of these. When did he do that? When Jesus was at his weakest. I want to tell you, if the enemy's going to come in on someone like Job and someone like Jesus, he may come in on you and me. And we have to be ready for that kind of thing. It doesn't happen every day, but the Bible says when he does come in like a flood, remember something. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Remember, we're not just at Satan's merry way. We're not just at whatever happens. We're in the hands of a mighty God. And we see with Satan here and Job, you know, there was some things went on in the background and the God set the parameters. This is all you can do to Job right here. The Lord wants us to know there's parameters set in our life. There's a circle. There's a hedge around our life that Satan cannot penetrate. He can only do what God will let him do. So when he comes in like a flood, remember something. That's far as he can go. He can't take our salvation. He can't make us get discouraged and give up. Only we can allow that. Only we can do that. He can't do that. He might be able, if God allows him to destroy some of our stuff, but he can't do anything to us. He can't take our spiritual life. Satan can't do that. He can't even begin to do that. You know, when he comes in like a flood, folks, let the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard for you. Realize, I'm in God's hands. This is okay. God's going to help me through this thing. When is he going to come to us? Might be at our weakest point. With Job, it was at his strongest point, seemed like. He was a very strong man. He had all of this. He was a very able person. He was a very wealthy person. And when did Satan come to him? When he was wealthy, when he was strong. I don't know when Satan is going to try to come in like a flood, but I will tell you this. He will test us, and when we go to heaven, we will be tested and tried. And all of us will experience the flood. When Jesus spoke of the flood, he didn't only speak of the righteous. He said there was those that built their house. They built their life. They built their experience, whatever they believed it to be, on the ground, on their own ideas, on their own flesh. And when the flood came to them, they didn't have anything left. And the Lord doesn't want it to be that way this morning. How does the devil come against us sometimes? With fear. The devil ever come to you with fear? What's going to happen to you now? The way you're feeling? Yeah, he'll come in with fear like that. What's going to be in your future? The devil comes like that. Accusations? Does the devil stand to accuse? Oh, yes, he does. He stands to accuse the righteous. And what was it? If thou be the Son of God, then command this bread. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be turned into bread. He knew what he was doing, didn't he? I will tell you, the devil will accuse. If you're saved, listen, the Lord wants us to hold on to our salvation. He wants it to be real. But sometimes we have to just hold on. Sometimes we have to know, I have obeyed God. I know I was resurrected. I know God lives in my life. And I'm going to stand with that. And I'm not going to let the enemy accuse me away from it. Can you imagine what the Lord would have done had he said, well, maybe I'm not. The way I'm feeling, maybe I'm not the Son of God. You know, he was tempted, wasn't he? That's why the devil said it. Because he knew he was going to tempt him. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be strong. He wants us to live for him. Jesus used the Word of God, didn't he? He stood on the Word of God. And the Lord fought for him. Will the devil come with despair? Oh yes, he'll come with despair. I can't make it. I can't possibly make it. I know others have been strong and all of that, but I can't make it. I want to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Why? Because we believe in God. That's the only reason. because we believe in God. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let there not be one of us to ever say, I can't make it. That's denying God. That's denying who we know God is. We can make it. We can make it when the enemy comes in like a flood. We can still stand. If we've been obedient to God, if we've been following Him, then I believe that when that flood comes, our house will stand if we have been obedient to the Lord. And that's an if. That's something we have to deal with. Lord, help me to keep in a place where I know I'm being obedient to You. Help me not to accept every little thing of the flesh that comes along. And I'm living in disobedience, and I know that I'm not really pleasing You. Then let me tell you, that won't last too long. The Lord wants us to obey Him. He'll come in with temptations, won't He? Have you ever been tempted? Yes, you've been tempted. I know you've been tempted. Jesus was tempted. I've been tempted. Everybody's been tempted. If you haven't been tempted, I don't know. There's something about that don't sound right. You know what? Satan will come in with a flood of temptations sometimes. He will. He'll come in and he'll work at you. Will he come in when you're at your weakest? Yes. When you're at your strongest? Maybe so. He'll come in when he can. The Lord wants us to stand. Job just stood. He stood right where he knew God was and didn't give up an inch. He didn't give up anything to the enemy. And when he got done, God blessed him with twice as much as he had before. I believe that's the way it works this morning. I want to encourage us today to submit ourselves to the Lord and resist the enemy, and he'll flee from us. That's in James 4 and 7. I'm going to read that scripture. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, we'll start in 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, the Lord, I believe, when we stay with Him, He will care for us. He will take us through. And we can stand on that rock. We can believe that this morning. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What do we resist? We resist those temptations. We resist that temptation to fear, to just run from what God has told us. Jonah had fear. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. I don't know all the reasons, but I'm certain one of the reasons was Nineveh. They had a really bad reputation, and he didn't want to go down there. And he had fear, and he ran from that thing. I was thinking about the enemy coming in and warring against us. I know that this is maybe not the most positive message we've ever preached, but I believe it is positive because God gives us the victory over these things. I will tell you this. There are times when the enemy will just come in against you. Even when you get down to pray. Have you ever got down to pray and the enemy began to bring temptations to your mind? Have you ever got before the Lord? Is this time here when the sons of God came to present themselves before God and Satan came also? Is that the only time that ever happened? Have you ever come before the Lord and Satan come and to resist you? I have. It don't happen all the time. But it happens sometimes. And you know what you have to do? You have to work through that, don't you? You have to rebuke the enemy. You have to continue to seek God. Lord, have mercy. I need you to help me. I need your word. I need you to speak a word to me. I need some counsel. I need some wisdom from you. And so we begin to call out to the Lord and we begin to look to Him. We don't stop and give up. Well, I'm just going doing my thing. We fight through the things the enemy wants to stop us with. He'll cause the phone to ring, I think, sometimes. He'll cause things, distractions to happen. I have found when the Lord is really in something in a special way, a lot of times the enemy will just begin to just pester you. It's like this thing and that thing and all these things begin to come up. You know, the Lord wants us to press on through. And in a little bit, the victory comes. The Lord loves every one of us. There isn't a single one that He doesn't love. He wants to take us to heaven, but He wants us to stand true. Stand when temptation comes. And don't allow it to throw us over. Because the devil will bring temptation and then accusation right behind it. If you were saved, this thought would have never come into your mind. I want to tell you something this morning. The devil will bring thoughts to your mind. He will. We can't afford to let it stay there. We can't afford to think on it. We can't afford to foster it. If we think there'll never be a thought come to my mind that's not righteous, you're going to be disappointed. We have to deal with these things as they are. Satan's going to come in like a flood sometimes. Sometimes he's going to war against our soul because he wants to overthrow us. And so he's going to come in real hard. He's going to try to discourage you. And you get down to pray and all these discouraging thoughts come along. You know, it's nobody cares anyway. You know, we know that's a lie. That's what Satan says. It's a total lie. But he begins to war against your soul. But you know, once we begin to find him out, this is just Satan. He's just trying to withstand the work of God. He's just trying to withstand what the Lord wants to do. And when you begin to find him out, he don't have so much clout, does he? And a lot of times he just kind of, he leaves. He just knows, I can't win this one anymore. I'm found out. This morning, we need to know and not be unaware. We need to be aware of what we are battling and the things that we are fighting. Otherwise, when Satan comes along, he'll come right along and try to kick us off of our feet with accusations. Why would this happen to you? If you was saved, why would these bad things be happening to you? Why wouldn't everything be sailing smooth? Well, everything don't sail smooth for anybody most of the time. I mean, a lot of times. There's nobody that just gets a free ticket through life. We have to be aware the flood's going to come. But it cannot sweep me off my feet. It cannot take the precious things that God has given me. In fact, when it's done, I'll have twice as much in some of those battles. I'll have twice as much. And I found it to be so. The worst battles that I have ever fought, I came out and I feed from them today, and they might have been 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I still feed from it, from what God has given. You know, if we will stand with the Lord, we will find that He will help us resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Lord will give us the victory in the end. In James 1 and verse 2, I want to read a couple other places here in James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, there's something God wants to do, isn't there? There's something He wants to do in our life that He cannot do without sometimes a real force coming against us. I believe that. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Job had to have patience. He had to hunker down and trust in God for a while because he didn't know what was going on through that time. And it says, that ye may be perfect and entire, God has a work He's trying to do in our life, and He wants to do it. He can only do it many times by part of our own self being chipped off, things coming against us sometimes. I don't believe we live in a place where all the time things are against us. We have a wonderful, happy life, and I thank God for that. But I've seen the floods come, and I've seen them when I thought, this just looks pretty bad. But I believe if we'll just do what Job did, we'll come out with more than we started with. Verse 12 says here, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Did you know that the Lord has promised a crown of eternal life, never to be destroyed, never to be warred against anymore? He has given that to us. It says here, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want to encourage us this morning. Love him. Love him through all the things of life. When the flood comes and it seems that everything will surely be swept away, and when we're doing well, as Job was to start with, love him. Love him in all the times of life. Because the Lord has promised to us that we will have a crown of life that endures. It cannot, it won't fade away. It won't be something that can be taken from us. I want to read a quote out of The Christian Secret of a Happy Life by Hannah Whittall Smith. She said, "Nothing cultivates the grace of patience as the endurance of temptation. And nothing so drives the soul to an utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus as its continuance. And finally, nothing brings more praise and honor and glory to our Lord Himself than the trial of our faith that comes through manifold temptations." What is the trial of our faith? It's the trial of our belief in God. It's the trial of our belief in the things God has given us. It's trying those things. And those things are valuable. Nothing brings more praise to the Lord than us just standing true as Job did in his life. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know what James, or what Peter's telling us here is, he said, the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You ever had the devil roar at you? I'm sure most of us have heard what lions do. They put their mouth to the ground and they roar, and the ground trembles and it shakes, and the noise is so loud. Any little thing close by, little rabbits, little whatever there is, they'll jump and run because they're afraid. The devil is like that. He goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It'll be good for us if we know that. It will be good for us if we know, yes, I'm saved, but don't think that the devil's not going to come and roar at you. And don't think that he's not going to try to unsettle your walk with the Lord. He'll try to devour. He'll try to scare. He'll try to wear out, as the Bible says, the saints of the Most High, and then discourage you and wear you down and try to overcome your faith. I thought about the illustration Bob gave the other night, Brother Bob Wilson, last Sunday night, about the two roosters. And he said his rooster that he owned and had in a pen was much bigger than the neighbor's rooster. But the neighbor's rooster got out. and got into Bob's pen. And he said, those roosters just went at it. And in a few minutes, of course, that big rooster just, that little rooster just laid down. He just gave up the fight. And Bob knew in a few minutes there wouldn't be anything left. He would be dead. So Bob pulled the fence up and he said that little rooster just jumped and ran out just like that. Immediately, just jumped and ran. There wasn't anything wrong with him to the point that he couldn't do it, but he just gave up. That's Satan's tactics. He wants to just wear people down. And this morning, I just want to encourage us, resist those things. Resist the enemy that wants to discourage or that wants to wear down. I have just a little more here. I was thinking about Eve. You know, she went into the garden and the enemy came to her. Do you know she knew full well what God had said, didn't she? But she got into a little conversation with the enemy, didn't she? He's a wicked foe, and he comes in a lot of ways. And he'll come right up. He's bold. He'll come in like a flood. He'll come right up to you. And he began to say to Eve, hath God said? Well, she knew exactly what God said, and so did Satan. But, of course, he kind of misquoted, didn't he? And so we find her not veering around. I just want to encourage us, stay away from the enemy's ground. She knew what she was supposed to do. She should have stayed right there. Did she walk by that tree every day, wishing for it? After, you know, we just have that little conversation, but I wonder how much more there was. Was Eve tempted for a good while before that? She should have avoided it. She should have not passed by it. She should have went the other way. I want to encourage us today, don't allow the enemy to get you in a place where he can sweep you off your feet. Jesus said about that flood that the one that heard his sayings and did not do them was that way. And when we disobey God and we know we're not pleasing God, we're in a good place to get swept away. And so I just want to encourage us. I know there's a place there where somebody begins to not really follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And the end of that is sin. The end of that is the enemy sweeps us off our feet. But I want to encourage us today. God wants to fight our battles. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Right now, I don't know how long he'll be there. He afflicted Job for a little while. There was a while there, a good while, that Job had to endure some things, didn't he? We may have to endure some things too. But I will tell you, if we will endure, if we will keep our heart right with God, if we will obey him in all that he does, no matter what the enemy brings our way, I want to tell you, in the end, we will have more than we had in the beginning. And I believe a lot more most of the time. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's Romans 13 and 14. I want to encourage us, don't be found in the category where when the enemy comes in like a flood, we haven't been keeping everything that we know we ought to keep. Live close to the Lord. Is that asking too much? It's just what we ought to do. Live like God wants us to. Give it all. Give him everything we've got. And I believe that we will find him fighting our battles. But if we make provision for the flesh, if we make provision, if we feed the temptations that we may have, if we allow food to those temptations, if we allow those thoughts of discouragement, and then we start just feeding those things, they're liable to overcome us. The Lord tells us to think on things that are good, things that are righteous, things that are of good report. I want to encourage us today, follow the Lord and get the grace to live for Him. Whatever kind of temptations that we endure from time to time, I want to encourage us, starve those things. Don't feed them. Don't give them room. Don't give them a place in our life. And I believe God will fight our battles. Resist the enemy, the Bible says. That means when he's trying to discourage you, don't allow him to just romp you with that. Get our mind on something else. Get our mind on the Lord. Pray to God. Do the things the Lord wants us to do. I trust that the Lord, I pray, God, Lord, help every one of us here to make it to heaven. You believe God can make you make it to heaven? Of course He can. Not only can He, but oh, how He wants to. How the Lord wants every one of us to make it in. And I pray God to encourage every one of our hearts. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up against him. He'll push him back and drive him out and not allow him to get those good things that live in our life and in our heart. Amen.